New in the last few hours, human remains found amid a search to find siblings missing for years. What investigators say led to the discovery. Then we have live, complete coverage of the Japanese Prime Minister's historic visit to Raleigh as his trip comes to a close.
Who could see another round of rain before a blast of summer? Where temperatures top out for our weekend and when we could near 90 degrees.
Some local veterans are walking 222 miles to Camp Lejeune for suicide prevention.
It's about keep pushing through and making it to the next spot.
We'll tell you what you can do to help.
Right now at 7 o'clock, weather is taking center stage. We have some new severe thunderstorm warnings to tell you about issued in the last 30 minutes for several counties in our area. As we look at the radar, you can see this weather moving through. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Let's look at our tall tower camera in southeast Wake County. If you see over my shoulder here, this is actually the storms moving our way. They're in Fuquay Varina right now. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a timeline on when this all clears out. Kat.
The threat should be over in the triangle by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock elsewhere. We are seeing rain coming down in Fayetteville. You can see the camera shaking back and forth a bit. Fayetteville was dropped recently from the previous severe thunderstorm warning, and the areas that are included in the latest severe thunderstorm warning until 7:30, parts of Sampson County, as well as a sliver of Johnston County and just south of Goldsboro in Wayne County. So the strongest storms right now are moving through southern Wayne County as well as Sampson County, and all of these showers and storms are pushing east. Not much activity in the northern half of our viewing area, and I think the radar will stay quiet there, but we do have showers moving toward Garner, moving through Fuquay Varina. As you saw Ashley pointed out on the tall tower cam, those are going to be headed for Clayton. No lightning in that at this point, just some showers. By 8 o'clock, I think any rain should be confined to eastern Johnston County as well as Wayne County and eastern Sampson County. And then after that, we are dry. So we just have a little time left, I would say about an hour in Wake County. And then we should be done with the rain threat for your Friday night in the Triangle. This continues to move out of here, all connected to the upper level energy with yesterday's system. And then comes some summer-like warmth. I'm tracking that coming up.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Thank you, Kat.
Now to a historic visit. Right now, the Prime Minister of Japan is in North Carolina, and at this hour, he's wrapping up dinner at an embassy suites near RDU. Fumio Kishida has been busy since arriving late last night. Earlier in the day, he joined Governor Cooper for a tour of the Toyota plant, the battery plant in Randolph County, and then made a stop at the Honda Jet facility in Guilford County.
That was followed by a lunch at the governor's mansion in downtown Raleigh and a stop at the North Carolina Japan Center at NC State. WRAL's Carly Haynes joining us now live right outside the private dinner as this historic trip wraps up. Carly, a busy day.
I was going to say, jam-packed for the prime minister, if you couldn't tell by just the amount of events that he has attended throughout the day. Inside this building right now, there is a dinner with some diplomats. The prime minister, he was supposed to be there. He was not able to make it, but we were just over at the North Carolina Japan Center where he was on NC State's campus. He was joined by the director of the center, the governor, and the chancellor of NC State. That center connects Japanese students in the state and helps attract economic opportunities. A huge reason for the visit by the prime minister today. Though the director tells us he could not have imagined the prime minister would be here. He said he nearly dropped his phone when he got the call in mid-February. This afternoon, Kishida learned more about the center and met with students who have excelled in their Japanese studies here.
He spoke just some beautiful words about the history of America and Japan, and I was like close to tears at some point. I was like, wow. I was like, he speaks so well. Mm-hmm. And he's just such a down-to-earth, nice guy, it seems.
And this was the first campus visit by a government leader in 70 years. And the prime minister is expected to leave Raleigh tomorrow and then land back in Japan on Sunday. Back to you.
All right. Carly Haynes live in Wake County. Thank you. And the Japanese prime minister's wife, Yuko Kishida, made a couple of her own stops today. She and First Lady Kristen Cooper stopped by Duke Gardens for a traditional Japanese tea. It took place in the Durham Toyama Sister Cities Tea Pavilion in the Japanese Garden. Mrs. Kishida also visited Chapel Hill High School and the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences.
Now to a major development on a story I know so many of you at home have been paying attention to and following. Fayetteville police now say say that they found partial human remains while searching for two siblings who have been missing for several years. This is all tied to the investigation to find now 17-year-old Blake Devon and 27-year-old London Devon. London was last seen in 2019. Devon has been missing since 2022. The skeletal remains found while searching for them have been sent now to the state's medical examiner. Police say it could take a few weeks to positively identify those remains. The discovery was not made at a home in the area they were searching, which the FBI and police searched earlier this week. The children were in foster care at that home. The FBI is now analyzing some of the evidence that was taken from inside.
It's always hard to hear tough stories about young kids, and unfortunately, here's another one. A Durham mother is mourning after her 16-year-old son was shot and killed. Latoya Edwards tells WREL her son Cassidy was a smart, respectful boy. They've lived at McDougal Terrace for just over a year. His twin brother was also shot on the same street last week. He had minor injuries. He's recovering tonight. Edwards says yesterday was actually the second time Cassidy had been shot.
Just too many gun battles going on around here. These people put guns in the wrong people's hands, and people thinking they play toys, they're not. And it takes people like, we killed my son.
Four other people were shot in Durham yesterday. Three people showed up at the hospital with gunshot wounds from a shooting on Fayetteville Street and Linwood Avenue. Javonte Patterson is charged with possession of a firearm by a felon. Police are also searching for a stolen black Honda Accord involved in a third shooting near the American Tobacco campus. That man also had minor injuries.
North Carolina Central Police have arrested now more students after a shooting at a residence hall last week. Shazye Bell and Paris Amos are charged now with conspiracy to commit armed robbery. 19-year-old Eric Randall was arrested earlier this week, appearing in court in that video yesterday. He also faces conspiracy charges. Investigators have not charged anyone with actually pulling the trigger in this case. This all happened at Lawson Street Residence Hall on April 2nd. A student was shot and taken to the hospital. NCCU police say more arrests are expected.
Today, Raleigh police released body camera video showing the moments before and after an officer shot a man who ignored commands to drop his weapon.
Drop the gun! Drop the gun! Police, drop the gun! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Hands on your head! Hands on your head, man! Hands on your head!
Did you hear all those shots there? This unfolded in a parking lot on Rock Quarry Road in February. The video shows Officer ML Berg fired 18 shots after his commands were ignored, and that man darted behind a truck. That man, who was later identified as Rancis Vargas, was hurt. The driver of the truck was also injured by police gunfire. Officer Berg remains on administrative leave, pending an internal investigation.
A bat has tested positive for rabies in Raleigh. That's according to animal control. Yesterday, an officer was called to a home on Kilcullen Drive for a reported bat inside. The officer was able to catch the bat, which then tested positive for rabies. Wake County health officials say you can minimize exposure to rabies by avoiding animals you don't know and making sure your pets are up to date on their vaccines.
A group is on a mission to raise awareness about suicide among veterans and first responders. They're walking from Fort Liberty to Camp Lejeune and back. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays explains it's a 222-mile march to try and understand their pain.
So if you're walking along Highway 24 in Sampson County today, you'll see these guys and gals. They're walking 222 miles for suicide prevention for veterans and first responders.
This is the beginning of something big. These veterans and first responders are on a 222-mile mission. They're walking from just outside of Fort Liberty in Fayetteville to Camp Lejeune in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and back. J.P. Cervantes started Let's Walk It Out in 2021. He says it's a way to help veterans and first responders get off the path that leads to suicide.
The way we do that is through the Rock March. We are in pain every single day, and it's about resiliency. It's about keep pushing through and making it to the next spot.
The marchers carry a flag with the names of service members and first responders who have killed themselves over the years. Names like Alex Logan. His friends called him Cowboy. Earl Watson had a smile and a personality that would light up a room. Anthony Peterson says he's making the 222-mile ruck march for one of his best friends, Mark Cofield.
What happened there?
He was the first one I lost to suicide when I was on my first appointment. And he was the guy you never expected. He was the guy that was working out with you all the time and then just unfortunately made his own choice.
Yana Sandino is a police officer from Puerto Rico. She came to join the ruck march for a fellow officer. She says that fellow officer moved to the States about a year ago and unfortunately killed his wife and killed himself. Just about every step is in memory of a service member or first responder who took his or her own life. Organizers say it's a way to remember them, but hopefully it's a way to give others a reason to keep on living.
So 222 miles, that's the goal. They'll be at Camp Lejeune by Monday and back in Fayetteville by April 20th. So there's plenty of time for you to come out and join them and support them. In Sampson County, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
Wow, you got to commend them for that. You can follow the group's progress and find out ways you can help on their website. We have that information with this story on WREL.com.
A popular downtown Raleigh restaurant is closing its doors permanently. Capital Club 16 posted this news on Instagram, saying it will close its location on Martin Street. They've been there for the last 14 years. Instead, they will shift their focus now to their food truck, the Wandering Wolf. The restaurant expects to close by the end of the month.
Tonight, another consequence of the pandemic. You know, all that extra alcohol many of us drank had an impact, especially for women. The findings Duke researchers are sharing. Plus, just in time for a beautiful weekend ahead, Topgolf has opened in Durham. We'll take you there. President Biden says that capping the cost of insulin at $35 is one of the biggest accomplishments of his tenure. But at a campaign stop in Nevada, fact checkers found that Biden exaggerated the savings for people on Medicare. Paul Spey has more for PolitiFact.
How much did insulin cost before President Biden signed the Inflation Reduction Act? Well, check out what he said recently on the campaign trail.
How many of you know someone who needs insulin? Okay, well, guess what? It was costing $400 a month on average. It now costs $35 a month.
Let's clear up the record here. The Inflation Reduction Act, which Biden signed in 2022, it capped insulin prices at $35 a month for people on Medicare. And then after that, three major insulin producers also lowered the prices even for people on private insurance. So he's right about the price of insulin dropping to about $35. But we found no evidence that people were paying as much as $400 a month just for insulin. The U.S. Health Department said in a press release last year that some Medicare customers paid more than $70 per insulin fill. But those customers only accounted for about 24% of insulin users on Medicare. It's possible that Biden was referring to annual savings. This report to Congress in 2022 estimated that the insulin cap could save Medicare enrollees more than $400 a year. But that's not what Biden said. When comparing the cost of insulin before and after this legislation, he only got one out of the two prices right. And that's why the truth meter rates his claim only half true. Read the full fact check at WREL.com.
There's a new study released today taking a closer look at how all those extra drinks that many people had during the pandemic are impacting everyone's health now moving forward. The study was done by researchers at Duke and some other institutions across the country, and it found that women between the ages of 40 and 64 are the most likely to experience alcohol-related liver disease complications, things like hepatitis, cirrhosis, excessive abdominal fluid, and pancreatitis.
Women tend to have lower rates of alcohol use and lower rates of alcohol complications than men. But over the last decade, women have had a trending up of their alcohol use and their alcohol-related complications, whereas men have been stable or even decreasing.
Those with the study say the results point to the need just for more resources in general to be dedicated to helping those with alcohol use disorder.
VinFast is expanding into the electric bike business. It's called the VF Dragonfly. The design is inspired by the image of a flying dragon in Vietnamese culture. The company says the bike can travel up to 68 miles on a single charge. VinFast says you can begin buying the VF Dragonfly later this month. The list price is $2,599. The Vietnamese automaker opened its first non-factory-owned dealership in the U.S. in Cary just a few months ago. Avelo Airlines says it has reached a major milestone, flying more than 250,000 customers at RDU. The discount airline came to the Triangle in 2022. To celebrate, Avelo offers travel-inspiring, as it describes, one-way fares as low as $69 from RDU. Avelo serves six nonstop destinations from RDU, including Boston, Fort Myers, and West Palm Beach. Avelo's newest route to Albany, New York, begins in May.
Well, we saw all the damage yesterday, right, from the storms. We covered it extensively here on WREL. The National Weather Service now confirming today that an EF1 tornado touched down during those storms. This is some video of the damage in Wilkesboro. Several trees came down, including one on a house. The tornado was on the ground for about 2 miles, hitting top speeds of 110 miles per hour with the winds. No reports of any injuries, which is fortunate, but kind of explains some of the severity of the damage that we saw there. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now to talk about what is now kind of another bout of weather that really intensified tonight.
Yes, and that's still ongoing in the southeastern part of our viewing area. A couple updates to bring you. Johnston County's been trimmed out of the warning. Just some rain moving through Johnston County, but a lot of lightning for the severe storm in Sampson County. We're seeing the lightning ramp up there and in southern Wayne County. Those are the two areas that need to be on alert right now. Pretty much all of Sampson County and then southern Wayne County for 60 mile an hour wind gusts possible. The worst of the storms moving through Clinton right now, but the worst of the severe weather staying south of Goldsboro. Clayton seeing rain as well as Smithfield. And we told you that the threat for rain would be over in the Triangle by 7:30. That still looks to be the case. As this all moves east, the northern half of our viewing area is pretty quiet. In Clinton right now, you can see the trees blowing in the wind as well as the flag there. The rain is coming down in the distance as these storms move through. But check this out. This is a live picture from Sugar Mountain right now where it has been snowing. And you can see ice kind of glazed over the camera there. The higher elevations of the mountain saw some pretty heavy bursts of snow on the backside of this system as the upper level energy moved through. But from snow right to 88 degrees, let's flip the switch here on these graphics, all in one weathercast. We see it all in North Carolina. By next week, those locations in the mountains that are seeing snow could be at 80. We're going to be in the upper 80s. 72 is our normal high. We're at 82 on Sunday, 88 by Tuesday and Thursday of next week. It is really going to be feeling like summer next week and a little bit more humid feeling as well. Our average first 90 degree day of the year is as we get into mid-May, May 13th to be specific. We've seen 90 degree days in mid-March though, and the latest we had our first 90 degree day was toward the end of June. All around though, it's a warm weekend. It should be pretty nice out there. Upper 60s in the Triangle at this hour, 54 degrees in Fayetteville, though a big difference for the areas that saw rain. Temperatures quickly dropped into the 50s, so keep that in mind for your Friday night planner. But here in the Triangle by 10 o'clock, 59 degrees, 56 at midnight. And for tomorrow's high, 73, 82 on Sunday. Warming up Sunday. Tomorrow, a beautiful day. We're right on par with normal highs for this time of year tomorrow. We'll wake up to temperatures near 50 degrees, a nice morning to go out for a walk or a jog by lunchtime, 65, reaching the 70s during the afternoon, and upper 60s around dinner time tomorrow night. Looking at your 7-day forecast, a lot of 80s are on the horizon. Tomorrow and then next Friday are the coolest days on our 7-day, and they're still in the low to mid 70s. We dip into the 40s for a couple nights, upper 40s, and then our low temperatures next week are going to climb as well. That's a sign that the air will be a bit more humid. As for rain chances, only 20% on the 7-day forecast, so no day really stands out as a significant weather maker coming our way right now, Dan.
What a warm-up. All right, Kat, thank you.
Another win for NC State basketball, the national recognition Coach Keats is getting, and how you can help both teams celebrate their epic seasons. A new Topgolf location is now open in Durham.
So today, the grand opening happened, the first location in the Triangle, which is the third location in North Carolina. It's located right off of Page Road near I-40. Director of Operations Kevin Kraft says it's a perfect place for families and groups to hold celebrations, birthday parties, things like that. Was that Chris?
You know who that is? Yeah, that's Chris Lee. He was the brave soul who on live television decided to swing that driver. I think it was a driver.
Yeah.
You know what? He whiffed it, but...
Did he whiff it? He missed the ball?
Not totally.
Oh.
It was okay. But I give him, like, top points for having the, you know,
I'm in
the
no
bravery
place.
To do that.
I'm in no place to judge him.
None of us are. None. Absolutely.
NC State's men's head basketball coach receiving some national recognition. This is great.
The National Sports Media Association named Kevin Keats Coach of the Year. Keats led the Wolfpack on their historic run from ACC champions to the Final Four. This was Keats' seventh year as head coach of the team. And don't forget, you can celebrate NC State basketball's historic season with Coach Keats on Monday.
The university is going to be hosting a party at the Bell Tower for players and fans. Both Wolfpack teams are going to be there, men's and women's. Man, they both had such amazing runs. Kevin Keats and Wes Moore will be in attendance. The city of Raleigh will close Hillsborough at Oberlin Road and Horn Street. For the free event, head on down after 5. People can park at Reynolds Coliseum parking deck, also the Jeter Bays and SAS lot, as well as the Dan Allen deck. So they're going to have a lot of parking. Check it out. The Bell Tower celebration starts at 8 o'clock. Two of the top players in women's soccer will meet here in Raleigh tomorrow night. You can watch it live on WRAL.
The Portland Thorns are coming to town to take on the North Carolina Courage. That means Defender of the Year nominee Kaylee Kurtz will meet She Believes Cup MVP Sophia Smith on Saturday night. You can watch the action live tomorrow at 7 right here on WRAL TV. Oh, the Courage are doing, I just hope the best for them this season.
You've really been, you've become a big fan of the Courage.
We, like, you know what, our family's all in.
Yeah.
All in.
They can play some ball. It's going to be fun. Fun one tomorrow. Thanks for being with us here on WRAL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night and a lovely weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.